Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is taken from a portion of the scripture reading from Exodus chapter 1. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. And this is our text. With Election Day coming up next Tuesday, there has been a lot of attention focused upon who will become the next president of the United States. We have now seen the political ads, we've heard the campaign rhetoric, and we've witnessed the debates over the last several months, all of which have tried to persuade us to support one candidate or the other. However, next Tuesday, it will be up to the voters to decide who they want to be as the next leader of our country. And as Christians, we certainly want someone to get elected who holds to the same godly values as we do. We would like to be governed by someone who is honest and has personal integrity. The least we can hope for is to be ruled by someone who won't stand in the way of the Christian faith or hinder the mission of the gospel. However, as much as we hope for and pray for and vote for individuals whom we believe to stand for godly values, those types of candidates don't always get elected. As Christians, sometimes we're greatly disappointed by the individuals who get voted into office and then the type of leadership they exercise over our country. Sometimes we as Christians, we have to live under an administration that doesn't really care what the Word of God says and promotes policies contrary to the teachings of Holy Scripture. And unfortunately, throughout the course of history, God's people have often had to live under secular rulers who turned out to be not only indifferent to godly values, but even stubbornly and violently opposed to the Word of God. And our text for today gives us such an example. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, directly opposed the will of God by deliberately persecuting God's people, even to the point of threatening their lives and ordering that all newborn Hebrew babies had to be killed. And this command to kill the male infants directly affected the work of the midwives of God's people. This decree put these women in a terrible predicament. Here they were called in their vocation as midwives to do everything possible to protect and to safely deliver the lives of all infants, both male and female. But now the highest ruler of the land was telling them to kill all the Hebrew boys they would help to deliver. And this, of course, was nothing but an immoral and godless attempt to murder helpless babies and thus reduce the population of the Israelites as they lived as foreigners in the land of Egypt. And so what were these women supposed to do? Obey God or obey man? Our text says that the women feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt asked them to do. They let all the newborn infants live, both the male and the female, contrary to what the king had ordered. And of course, the midwives were taking a great personal risk by disobeying the king. And as a result, the king summoned them and said, "Why have you done this? And let the male children live." Certainly, these women endangered their own lives by following the will of God and by ignoring the will of the king. But by God's grace, these women were not harmed, even though they disobeyed the command of Pharaoh. And our scripture lesson says that God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew strong, and because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. The Lord blessed and protected these women who trusted in him as they refused to commit the sin that they were asked to do. As Christians, we don't know what will happen in the political future of our country. We certainly hope for good government for our nation and the type of leadership that improves the well-being of all people, both the young and the old, the born and the unborn. And we especially pray that we as Christians may continue to worship the triune God without the fear of harm and be able to follow his word in our lives without the threat of persecution. But yet we don't know what will happen during the coming years here in America. But realistically, we should always be ready to obey the will of God, over and above the will of any earthly ruler who may persecute us and try to make us do things or say things that go against our Christian faith, especially when it comes to those important issues as abortion and same-sex marriage. We must be prepared to stand for the truth of God's word and not allow the government or the ungodly culture around us to change our beliefs or to silence our confession. Like the midwives in our text, we must be ready to obey God rather than men whenever our Christian faith is being challenged. But yet we also find great peace and hope in our text as we are reminded of God's love and mercy for his people here in this world, especially as they remain faithful to him and as they cling to his word. Just as God protected the midwives who spared those baby boys, he can also care for and protect us. Just as God blessed those faithful women in our text and he delivered them from evil, so too can God deliver us from all evil as we humbly pray each time we say the Lord's Prayer. And as we look back in sacred history, we find numerous examples where God protected and preserved his people, even as they lived under the rule of evil and ungodly leaders. From the days of Elijah the prophet, who was delivered from the persecution of wicked King Ahab and his wife, Queen Jezebel, to the days of King Darius and the prophet Daniel, whose life was spared even though he was thrown into the lion's den for disobeying the king's edict by praying only to the one true God of Israel. God knows how to protect and preserve the lives of his faithful people, even as they live under the threat of wicked and ungodly rulers. And of course, there's the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was condemned by the Jewish Sanhedrin and mocked by King Herod and then beaten and crucified by the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Even though Christ suffered and he died at the hands of these earthly rulers, God the Father raised him from the dead and exalted him to the right hand of his heavenly throne. And even though Jesus was innocent of all sin, and he performed so many signs and wonders during his public ministry, the earthly rulers of his day, they did not understand, nor did they perceive the true identity of our Lord. As the Apostle Paul summarizes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. More often than not, the secular rulers of this age, they don't really understand the gospel. They don't really respect the true word of God. And instead, they so often resist the will of God, and they end up persecuting his people here on earth, including Jesus Christ, our Lord. But at his trial, Jesus spoke clearly to Pontius Pilate, saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." Christ is not the ruler of some earthly political realm enclosed by geographical boundaries or guarded by weapons and armies and supported by the burden of taxation. Instead, Christ's kingdom is a kingdom of truth and light. It exists hidden in the hearts of God's people here in this world by faith, but yet it shines so brightly among the glorious company of the angels and saints in the heavenly presence of God. Its weapons are the spiritual weapons of the Word of God and prayer, and it has no earthly limits or borders. It contains people from all nations and all walks of life who follow Christ as their King. And the true treasures of Christ's kingdom are not measured in terms of dollars and cents, but instead are found in the forgiveness of sins and the righteousness of Christ that we receive by faith through the message of the gospel and the holy sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. The kingdom of Christ is made up of only poor, lowly sinners, but those who have been cleansed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who was crowned as our Savior King upon the cross on Good Friday. And then, by his glorious resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday, Jesus has made us heirs of an eternal kingdom, one that will never end or fade away. Through Christ, we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, one that will never be conquered or defeated by any enemy, since Christ has already won that victory for us over sin and death and the power of the devil. Therefore, let us not be overcome by fear because of what the future may hold. Let us not allow the rulers of this age to shake us from our faith in Christ, nor keep us from following his word and worshiping his holy name. Instead, let us remain faithful and true to Jesus Christ, our heavenly King, for he rules over all things as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. For through his death and resurrection, Christ has now received all authority in heaven and on earth. Let us rejoice that he is always with us, even to the end of the age. In the name of Jesus, amen.